Today's scripture is Psalm 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are humans that you're mindful of them? Mortals, that you care for them. Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. Oh, can you really hear me? Yes. Hello. Good morning, church. I want to welcome you, whether you are together here now worshiping with us in the sanctuary or joining us online today or maybe even later on in the week. I'm so glad that you're a part of this time of worship together with us. My name is Taylor First. My pronouns are she and her. I get to serve as the senior pastor to this community of faith where we are paying attention to the transformation that God is doing as God is at work in us and through us and around us and beyond us. We want to catch that wave of God's Spirit at work and to join in God's work of healing and justice and flourishing for all of creation. And we pause in our week to worship because we are spiritual beings. We were made that way. We're wired to need this kind of refueling, and it's like an alignment check, isn't it? On a regular basis, we need that, and we're made to do it together. So I'm glad that you are a part of this as God shapes and reshapes our lives when we really show up and we bring ourselves to this time together. So I'm glad that you're a part of this today. We are talking this summer about our chosen families, as you can see, those who are not necessarily related to us by blood or even by law, but those who we still consider family. Maybe they are neighbors or longtime friends, or maybe they started out as coworkers, but they have grown to become so much more than that. Maybe they're friends from church with whom you have raised your children, and Maybe you share an extended family network through a cause that you're devoted to, or a group that you serve with, maybe, or maybe a musical experience. In fact, yesterday I was on a bike ride, and I was with my daughter. We were up here at 15th Street and West Avenue, and of course we were not riding on 15th Street because that's like a death wish. So we were riding on West, and we were standing at the light waiting for that to turn, and a car passed in front of us and honked. And pretty quickly, I identified it as a friendly honk. You know how you can tell the difference between a friendly honk and a not-so-friendly honk. I looked up, and immediately, as the car whizzed by, I immediately identified it as Devin Bailey's car. Our youth director of youth ministries, and it's because of the constellation of stickers that are on the back of his car. You can tell it anywhere. And one of those stickers, it's like a rainbow on top, and then underneath it has the word Bramley. Bramley. Does anybody know what Bramley means? Show of hands. Oh, no, nobody does. Devin, you need to educate people. So this sticker identifies Devin as being a part of this close-knit fan community of Brandi Carlile, the musician. So he's part of the Bramley. And from knowing, if you know Devin, you know this is true, that there are some true familial connections that Devin has developed within that community, and I think communities of fans of other musicians as well over the years, that this is a layer of chosen family for Devin. So maybe you have something like that in your life. We are about halfway through this series today. We've been talking and thinking about those who are the chosen family members in our own lives. And so I'm going to actually invite you to do, it's okay, it's a scary thing. If you're visiting, we don't do this all the time. So if you don't like it, still come back. But I want to invite you to, if you're here in the sanctuary, or if you're watching with somebody else, to turn to someone near you and to tell them, somebody, just it could just be one person who is part of your chosen family. And if you don't have somebody watching with you, you can make a comment. Let us know in the comments. Who is a part of your chosen family? Somebody you count as chosen family. Okay, just a few seconds. Turn to your neighbor and share, who is that? We've all got somebody, don't we? We all have somebody who is like family. We'd say they're like family to me. They're part of my chosen family. Perhaps you might take a moment today and send them a text message or you know, a real actual card note. You know, they still make those. You could send them a note and just say, thank you for being part of my chosen family. God is using you or has used you to bring a greater richness and fullness to my life, and I'm so grateful that you are a part of my story. Today, we're having a little bit of fun. This is kind of a lighter topic today, to consider the animals in our lives as a part of our chosen families. How many of you have a pet? Quite a few, the majority. So out of our pet owners, how many of you have a dog? Dog people. There's my dog people. Okay, how many of you have a cat? Or more cats? Any sort of tiny furry creatures like hamsters, rabbits, I don't know, guinea pigs, anything like that? Boy, we really don't do that. They also don't last very long. So any reptiles? Reptiles, or how about like fish? Anybody got fish? There we go. Birds. Any birds? No bird. Oh, birds back there. Yes. Okay, but how many of you at some point in your life have loved an animal? I know I have several. The Bible names somewhere around 120 species of animals. Did you know that? That's a lot. Animals show up all throughout Scripture. And these words, these poems, these stories, they help us to see that our lives have always been intertwined with the lives of animals. We have always been in relationship with animals from our very beginnings. The story of creation in Genesis 1 narrates our creation right alongside the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And every bit of it, God calls good. The story of creation in the next chapter in Genesis 2, it tells a story about God first creating the man, who we call Adam, right? And then creating all of these animals whom God intends for Adam to sort of try out as his helper. He's looking for a helper. And so one by one, God forms a new creature. It says, every animal of the field and every bird of the air, God brings to the man and says, what do you want to call this one? And the man gives it a name, and whatever the man called that creature, that became its name. There's this intentionality to the idea that we are kind of automatically already in relationship with all the other creatures of this world, and that is as it is meant to be, that we are fellow creatures of the same God. The psalm that we read today, Psalm 8, acknowledges the gift and the responsibility that we have in creation, that we have this unique power to care for and also to destroy God's good creatures. The paraphrased version of scripture called The Message, perhaps you've read that. I love to have a copy of that beside my, kind of direct translation. It's nice to have this different interpretation that's paraphrased. They put the second half of this psalm this way. It says, "You put us in charge of your handcrafted world, repeated to us your Genesis charge, made us stewards of sheep and cattle, even animals out in the wild, birds flying and fish swimming, whales singing in the ocean deeps." And then it rounds back out, ending the psalm in the same way that it began. "God, brilliant Lord, your name echoes around the world." Animals, again and again, they are a source of wonder to us. Through the poetry of psalms like this, or the creation accounts in Genesis, and in other places all throughout Scripture, there is this marveling at the gift, the goodness of the animal kingdom. Creatures that are as beautiful as they are varied, even the ones that kind of have a face only a mother could love. Animals can, and they really should have this effect on us. They delight us. They lead us to awe and to wonder at the God who made them, the God who has worked through the intricate evolutionary processes of this world to bring about these millions and millions and billions of creatures. These animals, whether they sit in our laps or if they are on our social media feed, they can point us back to God and help us to say, "Wow, you are amazing, God. Thank you for the glory of your creation and each one of these special creatures." Now, that's a way that we can kind of orient ourselves to all animals. But all the more today, as we think about our chosen family, I want to celebrate the gift that we have of being in relationship with animals. When you stop and think about it, what a wonder it is that we communicate with animals. We share our space, we share our food, we share our time with animals. With some animals, we live in relationships that go both directions, where they rely on us for care and for food, and we rely on them for everything from companionship to assistance of many kinds. Animals teach us the gift of vulnerability, how much we need each other. They help us to learn that our life and our worth is not bound up in our achievements or our appearance or our wealth. Your animal, your pet doesn't care about all that stuff about you. They help us to see that we are lovable and loved, simply because we are connected to one another by this great unconditional love of the one who created all of us. Animals can teach us a lot about forgiveness, can't they? And how love can endure so many messes, so many mistakes. We often talk with children or about how animals are great for children to learn responsibility. And I think that's true, but I wonder if it may be an even greater gift for them to learn to love and to treasure someone else just the way that God loves and treasures them. Our animals help us through losses, through difficult times. They help us to learn to measure a good life, not by the length of time, but by the richness of what we have shared along the way as we walk each other home. Many of you have heard me talk about my dog, Grady. I refer to him as my favorite child. My children know that. He's a golden doodle, but we say that he presents as a golden retriever. You would not know there's really any doodle in him. I would estimate that 90% of the sermons that I have preached here have been written with Grady either resting his head on my arm or like curled around my, I mean, 60 pounds, but curled around my shoulders on the couch, somewhere draped on me. Grady and I truly bonded when he was about 6 months old and my mom died unexpectedly. And a couple of days before her funeral, as family members were starting to come in town and the house was starting to fill with people, and I began to get overwhelmed with the reality of the situation and the grief of the moment. And so I escaped for a moment upstairs to the room in my parents' house where we were staying. And in this wave of emotion, I just sort of flung myself onto the bed, face down, just flopped down and began to cry. And this sweet dog jumped up on the bed, which was a kind of a feat to do in the first place, and he climbed over me and he laid his entire body down on right on top of me like a blanket covering me. We spell his name G-R-A-T-I. People often think it says grati. It's like the beginning of the word gratitude. It's from the Latin root word for grace. And that's what he is to us. A vessel of the grace of God. A friend, sometimes a mischievous friend, but a companion with whom we share in the goodness of this life that God has given to each of us. Friends, it's not a really complicated message today, but I think that it's worth saying out loud that these chosen family members, sometimes they might be your most regular opportunity to receive and to give the love of God. So whether your chosen family members are furry or scaly, whether they come with big ears or big teeth, whether they like to snuggle or they stay comfortably aloof, in life and even in death, may they always be to you a sign of the love of God. And may you be the same to them. Thanks be to God. Amen.